Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Agents of Mace. Today we're talking about Jessica Jones, episode 9. We're inching closer to the finale, and things are just up and down, and I feel like we're seeing the best side of the villain and the worst side of the hero, and it's weird because you feel bad, but also I feel like you feel bad because we took a little break from the show to watch Secret Invasion, and I kind of forgot how terrible Kilgrave is, and first half of this episode really makes you feel bad for him if you don't remember how bad he is. But yeah, so first thoughts.
Man, you said it. It was tense, especially the last moments. Because we took the pause because we had some new stuff coming out. So now we're getting right back into it. And man, you just forgot, like, okay, well, she captured him. So now what's her next plan? And then it's just like, oh man, it's just wild. It's just like that power game, right? You know, it's just like you can truly see like how evil this guy is. Because it kind of reminded me of some, I have to remember, like, I feel like I watched something else recently that was very similar to this episode in terms of, like, you know, kind of like who's actually holding the power and how they, you know, other people perceive it, like tricking them and things like that. So overall, I mean, it's an exciting episode. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's like the climax is what it feels like. It feels like it's putting us in a situation where we're really, I don't know, we're like almost at the peak, like something's got to give at this point. So
what I put in my notes was, and now we return to our regularly scheduled depression.
a little bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although I do like the title of this episode, at least, it's fun to say, Sandbin. And it makes sense because Kilgrave is literally in a box of sin.
Right. And water.
Of sin, water, electricity, blunt force trauma, regular trauma.
Some of his little comments are kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I think that was, I wonder how much of that was written versus the actor just kind of ad-libbing some things.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past Tennant to be throwing some of this stuff in just himself.
Right.
And I do think that it takes a certain level of talent to make us empathize with a villain that we have seen do truly horrendous and horrific things only up until this point. And so for us to suddenly feel sorry for him, it comes down to, first of all, David Tennant being able to sell that, but also to us seeing Jessica be really, really monstrous to him. Like, I kind of think it's not really better what she's doing to him versus what he's been doing to people. He has been at it for a very, very long time. He has ruined a lot of people's lives, but she is focusing so much fury on him and also taking away his free will because he's stuck in a box. She's gotten rid of all of his powers and also is repeatedly exposing him to these traumatic videos from whenever he was a little boy. Like, that's not cool, Jessica. I wish I could think of a better way to do this, but it's not cool.
Yeah, you know, those moments kind of almost had like a Stranger Things vibe, right? Mm-hmm. Once you get deep into that series and with the kids. Mm-hmm. This is... Jessica is like, I think in this episode, she's just so lost in her motives. She's not thinking straight of like, you know, Kilgrave's smart enough to know exactly what Jessica's trying to do. And it's like instantly he's going to know how to play this against her and make it look really bad to get him free. Because that's, you know, his objective now is how do I break out of here and get away as fast as I can?
Well, on your note of kind of the kids and that whole situation, I don't remember there being much more of an explanation for that than we kind of already have, which is just like, yeah, they were doing experiments on kids. But I feel like we could almost make the connection now, having seen like New Mutants. It has this sort of like, oh, are they finding mutants and doing tests on them to figure out their abilities? Or are they like taking children and trying to like force mutant abilities on them? Mm. And for me, it solidifies the mutant theory in this episode because we also get a sort of a reference, I guess, to Nuke with the pills. And for those of you who don't know, Nuke is like a crazy American soldier that takes red pills to get like in a rage and white pills to keep him balanced and blue pills to bring him out of rage. And that's kind of his like whole shtick. But he's too big. He's the villain for two big characters, the Punisher being one, which we know that this series eventually leads to the Punisher. Or I guess not this series, but the Netflix Marvel shows eventually lead to the Punisher. And then his other big one is Wolverine. And the Weapon X program is like sort of a side version of where these pills come from. So we're getting a lot of these like shadow organizations, I guess, being referenced and sort of introduced. And you can kind of see where Netflix was maybe trying to do what Marvel finally started to do, which is like build this greater world along with all the content. Whereas before, I feel like Marvel was doing that, but at kind of like a slow pace. And it felt like the show was really like, well, we have 15 episodes. So like, let's really dive into the world of the Marvel universe and like, what can we grab and bring in here and establish for future stuff? And it does kind of stink thinking about it now, like we won't ever really get probably that much time and effort put into it. You know, I think now they're, you can kind of see where they like ramped up and then everyone was like, hey, all of this isn't great. And so now they're slowing down again a little bit, but it still kind of seems all over the place in the like greater Marvel universe. Whereas like watching Jessica Jones just reminded me how like, oh, like everything ties together. Like stuff that happens in Jessica Jones, you know, ties into Daredevil. It ties into Luke Cage. I don't know that any of them really tie in Iron Fist. That's sort of like the outlander or outlier. But all of them kind of are related to each other, and you can tell they're in the same world, and they really did a good job of like building the universe that all of this exists in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that like that's, this episode is like a good point for that, which is like, here's this organization that took kids and performed experiments on them, and Kilgrave is the result of those. So who else is out there? Like, what other abilities could these kids have?
Yeah, I see someone, read someone, you know, this could have linked like Luke Cage. Someone hinted at like, could they have brought in like a Jessica Drew or someone like that? Like, they could have like, this could have opened up the door to tons of series.
Yeah.
All linked to one, which is crazy.
It's, yeah. So cool, and I think that that's what they were like trying so hard to do. And it, you know, mm-hmm. I know that when the shows were out, I feel like they got a lot of flack from people, but I liked them. I thought they were great. I still think they're good. Rewatching it, you're like, wow, this is such like a different tone, obviously, than the Marvel stuff we get now. But
I mean, for this is the 10th episode, like we've said, but there's also like one moment, and we're kind of jumping around here, but there's a moment near the end with Hogarth that's like, oh, I didn't realize they were going to put that in.
Yeah.
These series are wild. Like,
it's also interesting how many different stories are being told at once. Yeah, I feel like in the shows now, it's, we follow pretty much like one or two people, and that's about it. Everyone else is just like a side character in that. This, I feel like we have the cop story. Like, he basically has his own storyline now. Mm-hmm. You know, he was just an intro character, whatever. Now he has like his own thing going on. Then we have Jessica. Then we have Hope. Then we have Hogarth. Then we have Betsy, what's her name? Jessica's friend.
Trish?
Yeah, Trish. Patsy, that's it. That's what I was trying to think. But like, all of them have their own things going on, and it's taking the time to like show us all of their own things. And while, yeah, everything is tied together, it's still like, oh, we're going to get, okay, now it's this person's story. Oh, now it's this person's story. And if I remember of all of these series, I feel like Jessica Jones and Deadpool were the two, or Deadpool, Daredevil were the two that did that the most, where it was like, we're spending chunks of an episode on somebody else that's not Jessica Jones. So, you know, this episode was a little bit more Jessica Jones was there all the time. But it made sense because we watched all that stuff leading up to this, so we know who all the characters are, we know what they're going through, and then we kind of see the breaking point that Jessica reaches in this episode, where it's like, you know, they're basically like, ah, she's not going to kill him. And then very quickly it becomes, oh, she might actually kill him. Maybe we should cool things off for a minute. I still don't really understand the science behind this room and how it was built and how it was put in there and how this building seems to be pretty easy to get into because people just come and go. But also, it's not easy to get into because no one else is there.
Yeah. It's like, why does this room exist outside of this one singular purpose?
Exactly.
Yeah. This is like, they brought in Joe to build this.
Yeah.
Question of the day, if anyone gets that reference, what series is that from?
The fact that the room is hermetically sealed does indicate that Kilgrave's thing is a pheromone based control. And Jessica points out that his powers don't work through a microphone. So the fact that the room is like soundproof and she communicates with him over a mic, that does kind of help clarify what some of the limits of his powers are, but it's also still confusing to me.
Yeah. That's the point you made, Drew. Like, I think when it just felt like we kind of got the same story on characters, like especially with Hogarth. We already know what's going on, yet they have to explain it yet again. And I get the whole point is probably because Kilgrave may not know what's going on with this character, so it's kind of has to be stated. So like, if he were to figure that out, he could do something to his favor. But it's, I don't know. It's just, we already know. Like, we don't need to know again.
There are a lot of like repeat stuff. And again, like, it's been a long time since I watched the whole series, so I don't really remember what happens, but I feel like they're leading us down that direction, right? Like, they keep showing us this one particular part of this one person's story so that eventually we'll get a payoff. Like, you know, is that going to be resolved? Is that going to be used against her by Kilgrave? I mean, I do want to, like, when they were explaining it and Jessica mentioned that it was hermetically sealed, my first thought too was like, oh, okay, so they do explain that it's this pheromone based. But then the fact that his stuff doesn't work through the microphone made me then think, so wait, is it just his voice based? Because if it was pheromone based, then of course it wouldn't work through a microphone, because you would have to be around his pheromones for it to affect you. So it's like the show sets you up to think one thing and then immediately is like, well, but also, you know, maybe we'll leave it ambiguous enough to like, you just don't, we just don't know how his powers work. If it was pheromone based, like, couldn't they just put him in like a plastic suit and call it a day? And then his pheromones can't get out and they can walk around him?
I'm up in a trash bag and throw him out on the street.
Yeah. You know, he can't affect anybody, or put him in like a space suit. I don't know. I feel like there's other ways to do it than put him in an entire flooded room with an electric floor in an abandoned building.
The electric floor is especially not necessary to the just making it so he can't use his power. So it is purely there so that Jessica can shock him sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She says that 100%. It like stops him, but unless you're in there with him, there's nothing he can do.
Right. And right. If you were in there with him, like we see in the episode, the electric floor is kind of a setback because it's going to shock you too. So why wouldn't they just put like a collar on him or something? I don't know.
Yeah, and at one point it does very much look like Jessica's about to kill him, but then I think it's Trish shocks them both, so they both can't use their powers on each other. So yeah, it definitely affects Jessica too, and she knows it will because she says so going in. She's like, this will stop both of us, you know, in case things get a little hairy in there. She's like, I won't kill him, but maybe.
It's also interesting. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's just her whole tone. She's, you know, like... gotta use everything in her power to like not kill this guy,
right? And like, I get that Hope is her, like, I mean, very on the nose, right? Hope, her being named Hope, it's like Jessica's one hope for resolving this whole story is to get Hope out of prison by exonerating her and putting Kilgrave in prison. But at the same time, it's like, kind of seems like, I mean, Trish, it has a point, right? And she's like, what if we just locked him up and then just left? Yeah. And never came back? Like, I mean,
Hope can take that plea deal. You can just leave him in his little sin bin.
Yeah. And then they just don't ever have to worry about him again. Although I guess everyone knows where this building is, so maybe they do. I don't know. But I don't know. It's a weird moral line that they have to ride with, you know, how do we deal with Kilgrave? Especially because, again, in this episode, it's like they keep throwing people at him and then he just ends up killing them. Or, well, I guess having them kill themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why do you keep doing this? Like, just stop letting people go in there. Like, did they really think that his mom with the pair of scissors was going to kill him?
I mean, to be fair, did they know the mama was bringing in the scissors?
Maybe not, but if not, they should. I mean, could they don't like make him walk through a metal detector or something? It seems like a like X to Magneto holding cell level structure that they kind of just have loosey-goosey rules on what goes in, what comes out, you know, how do you get in there? Is the glass bulletproof? I don't know. Trish shoots it 3 times and it breaks. I feel like that's not great protection if that's what it's supposed to be.
No. I mean, it'll be hard to watch a story where nobody ever makes bad decisions. But this one, everybody's making really bad decisions all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And over and over and over. And it seems like every time they make a bad decision, it's the same bad decision that they made last time. And you're like, oh.
Oh my gosh. Especially like literally in those last moments. I'm just like, why are you doing this? No. What is your thought process here? Like, you know, bad things are about to happen.
Yep. I just, even putting him in a situation where he's in there with other people, I get that like her whole point was to catch him on camera, right? Like that was why. Yeah. Okay. So you put his parents in there. Objectively, his parents, not great people, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we basically watch the video over and over and over and hear the video over and over and over. Not great people, pretty bad. You lock them in there with him and he makes the mom stab herself and then tells the dad to pick up the scissors. I don't know, guys. If I'm Jessica, I think I just go, well, okay, we got it all on tape. And then move forward with whatever they need to do to like get him thrown in jail. I don't know that I'm opening that door to get in there. It just bad decision number one to put yourself in the way of him telling you, because like, what's to stop if Jessica gets in there? What's her plan?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't all he has to do is say, hey, Jessica, help me escape? Which is weird that he doesn't do that, but I don't know.
Well,
isn't that what the shock button was for? Hit the shock button. Why are we just sort of letting it happen? And then they're all like, oh my gosh, it's terrible. Jessica needs to get in there. It's like, that's what the button's for. Hit the button.
The button broke.
Oh.
They were trying to hit it and it wasn't working.
I forgot about that.
Right.
And like, with his parents, the most generous that we could say about them is maybe they were legitimately trying to help him like they said they were. That he had that brain thing and they were trying to fix it with a virus, which why and how.
Mm. Yeah.
Fine.
But yeah, they still did a pretty bad thing. More bad decisions. Poor decisions. And what are they doing now? Nothing.
Yeah. Well, you know, one's dead. Mm-hmm. Or they're both dead, I guess, right?
Yeah, and I mean, they did plan to attempt a murder, so that's not
true.
Great.
True. Yeah. They're still not great people. So I just leave them in there and leave him in there with them and be like, well, you sort of that yourself. And then the fact that Jessica's going in there and Trish is like, I know what I'll do. I'll shoot him. What?
Way to go, Trish.
Like, come on, man. You literally let him out. And she's lucky that, you know, math doesn't mean anything in this universe. And she only had 3 bullets in that gun.
Yeah.
So, or 4 bullets, I guess. 3 to break the glass and 1 to shoot it.
We also have, we've got Kilgrave in this episode, and he at least says it once, but I feel like he says it more than once, where he's like, I never killed anybody. Like, he's absolving himself because it wasn't him that did it. He just made other people do it.
Yeah. Yeah. He just suggested it and they did it. That's not him.
It's not his fault if he made them do it and they did it. Yeah. I wonder if he, like, legitimately feels that way in his brain that he's not doing anything wrong. These other people are doing things that are wrong. And if it just happens to be things that are good for him.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely feel like that's how he sees it, because even in this episode, he's explaining to everybody that he can that, like, hey, I did a good thing.
Kevin, oh, on like, the show?
What? Oh. My connection went out. Can you hear me?
I can.
Pardon us for this brief interruption.
That's fun. I definitely think that he feels that way because throughout the whole episode, he's constantly telling everyone that will listen that they helped turn him into a hero and that he was saving people. So he's like,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
100% delusional on what he can, has, and will still do with these powers. He's just like, yeah, I do good things. And, you know, if somebody else does the bad thing that I suggest, like, that's not on me. I didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Which just makes him even more of like a just terrible person, but a very intriguing villain to watch through a series where it's like, what's he going to do next? Who knows?
Right.
It's almost like watching Secret Invasion, right? You don't know who's under his control around him. And the things that he can just, you know, suggest, they can be so mundane. Even just like when he's running away, right? And he tells the detective, detective, follow me. And that was enough to get the detective to like almost pull his arm off to get out of the handcuffs.
Boy, I bet you if they had the rights, like that scene would have been pretty gruesome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that, you know, for as dark as this series is, they pick and choose when to be over the top. Mm-hmm. Like the head in the bag, but okay. That was a hair far for what all these other series are doing. But I think that they try their best to do it in a way that like it's going to be impactful and it's not just constant. So that you just kind of get, you know, numb to it, or it's not as impactful because it's like, you know, RA is going to rip this guy's arm off. It's like, no, we'll save that. Maybe that'll happen later. No. But I'm excited to continue. I think we are finally at the like tipping point for everybody. This seems like we're teetering on the edge of like full on superhero fight, or, you know, something's got to give in the next couple episodes. Cause if I remember correctly for these series, it's usually like the last two episodes that kind of like resolves everyone's stories.
Mm-hmm.
But the overall action plot of it kind of a couple episodes before that. So I feel like we're at that point.
Four episodes left. So. But let's kind of dive into the final moments, because that's what I was really fascinated with. It's like Jessica's finally realized, I guess, I don't know. I need to rewatch these last moments again one more time, because it's like she's picking up these little clues of like how she may have gotten out of his control.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if it's just like getting him to a certain level where he's, I guess maybe he's so frustrated he's like, he loses that sense of his ability to control someone or something. That's kind of how I was reading it.
Well, yeah, and I think it goes back to, you know, they still haven't really explained how his powers work, so we don't know. And, like, you know, maybe that is what's happening. Maybe we're going to learn through Jessica how to control his powers that he can't control, or the fact that, you know, they do mention a couple times, right? Like, his whole childhood was them trying to get him to be able to use his powers. And there's that moment between him and his dad where his dad yells at him. He's like, you've been controlling us all along. Like, don't act like you didn't know how to control us. You were always controlling us. And so it gives you a sense of like, oh, did he take sort of the easy way out and never really learn to fully control his powers? And so he just knows the basics of his own abilities, and that's what he's been skating on this whole time. And maybe Jessica's uncovering sort of like the extent of his powers, or a workaround, like you said, like if I get him flustered enough, then he loses the ability to control. Or if, you know, if he tells 10 people what to do and an 11th person walks in, he's not able to control that 11th person. So it is interesting. And I mean, I don't know. Maybe I wasn't paying attention the first time I watched it, and I just miss when they explain things like this. But I'm genuinely excited to be like, oh, are they going to explain it? Because I don't remember them explaining it. But I'll be very excited if they do, because I think that's, for me, that's like the only weak point in this series, is that people have powers. We kind of know what their powers do, but they never really explain how they work. But maybe they do.
And, well, to me, what it looked like was not that she had figured out that there is some time whenever Kilgrave loses control. It looks like to me she's discovered that she's had moments where she was able to resist him. And so I thought that the power was something in her, not anything that's lacking in Kilgrave. And it could just be that she has been under his control so many times that it's starting to lose its effect on her, and so that she might be able to resist him. Or maybe it has something to do with the powers that she already has, that she is not as susceptible to them as other people. He can still control her, but there's a breaking point.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. I go back, you know, gotta go back to the comics. And in the comics, there's a moment where, to avoid being controlled by him, they literally stuff tissue paper in their nose so that they can't inhale his pheromones. So it makes me think like, oh, so is this maybe like whenever she's able to resist him, maybe she just has allergies and like it doesn't affect her as much. You know, could that be the, it's as simple as that. All you got to do is plug your nose and then you're good. He can't control you.
This was post-pandemic time, so they just put on a mask and be like, well, we're done.
Exactly, yeah. And then he can't do anything. So I don't know. Because even thinking the like auditory side of it, like, okay, let's say the pheromones can affect you, but you plug your ears. How does that work?
We got noise canceling headphones now.
Yeah. Really quick, this is sort of a tangent, but have you seen the noise canceling headphones that add noise back in?
No.
Yeah. Mm-mm. But people were getting hit by cars with the noise canceling headphones. So they made a noise canceling headphone that will, it has a microphone and it will filter out. So you're literally listening to outside one section.
Yeah. Well, since I don't know, I'm a nerd on this stuff, but like I love Apple's AirPods, and they do have a big upgrade coming out. If it's not out already, they showcase it at their conference, and it kind of handles like these kind of scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool what they did. But yeah, it's wild.
I like the tech stuff. But yeah. I just thought it was funny when I heard about it. I was like, wait, so a noise canceling headphone that records the sound around you and plays it back to you instead of just not having noise canceling headphones? Anyway, back to Jessica Jones. I'm hoping that we'll understand a little bit more about what Jessica has discovered as far as like how to resist, and is it something that she can pass on to other people? You know, can she teach other people how to resist so then it renders him sort of useless or controlless? Or is it something, like you said, Elisa, something that's tied to her power maybe, and so she just happens to be the one that can resist him? Which in that case, then we're back to, okay, we'll put him in that hermetically sealed box and lock the doors and walk away. Hopefully we'll find it. Well, do you guys have any final thoughts on this episode?
It's just, I just got to know where it's going to go. I mean, 4 episodes left. And that, like you said, there's so many different stories going on. It's just how are they going to conclude all of this?
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think I'm more curious now, like where Hogarth is going to stand on things, right? Like for what was witnessed or not witnessed. Like, I don't know. It's like, where does the cop going to come into play too? Is he even going to come back? You know, is he going to be with Kilgrave through these last 4 episodes, or what's going to happen there?
Mm-hmm.
We need answers. Basically, I need answers. That's my final thing, is like, give me the answers.
Yeah. And well, you know, the upside is there are 4 more episodes, so they have time, they're 4 like 45 plus minute episodes. So.
Right.
They actually have the time to do it, whereas, you know, not dealing with Disney Plus, where it's like we got 1 episode left and they haven't answered any questions yet.
We would have 1 more episode left and it's gonna be like 22 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, they do. It's almost like they're like just having the cop. You know, they introduce this shadow organization that brings him the pills, like this doctor that no one's ever heard of, and brings him these pills, and he takes these pills, and you're like, ooh, is this a Weapon X thing?
Mm-hmm.
Even that, it's like you just introduced essentially a brand new character with 4 episodes left. Like, is he a part of this? Is he not? Is he a part of somebody else's story? You know, there is a season 2 of Jessica Jones. I remember, I think, the like big key takeaway from that season. I don't remember anything else about it. So I don't know that if he comes back in that, if he has a bigger part to play in this. I guess we'll find out. But I too am excited. You know, only 4 more episodes, but also yay, 4 more episodes. Well, before we go, we'll do a question for next week. But first, let's answer our question from last week. Last week was aliens, right?
Yes, just aliens question mark.
Yeah. So I'm a yeah. Yeah, aliens. I don't know that they're hanging out on Earth. You know, if I had interdimensional travel and I went to a planet where they were, you know, decades away from it, interdimensional travel, I don't know that I'd be like, this is interesting. I'd be like, nah, I want to find like a more advanced civilization. But yeah, absolutely. It's weird to think that people don't think they're aliens. The universe is huge. Who knows what's out there?
Yeah, I'm a yay too. Like, I'm in the same boat. Like, it just, I don't know. There's gotta be. Like, but yeah, I think that's the question mark, is would they come to Earth? I don't know. I'm not expecting them to be hanging around here.
Yeah.
But
if they want to come and scoop me up and put me on a Ravager ship and
right
keep me around, that'd be great.
It either has to be that or like a Close Encounters like vibe, like anything else.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. No, it's Mars terrifying. Attack or something. Yeah, yeah. But
no Independence Day.
Yeah. E.T., I'll get them all for it. You know, yeah. I'll help you build your ship back up. I know nothing about it. How about you, Lisa?
I'm also like, yes, because of just the staggering huge sprawling universe that we're in. Like, why would we be the only things that ever developed intelligence? That doesn't really make sense. And also, there could be, you know, like plants, corals, bacteria, those kinds of things. Those are life on other planets. There might be that. I don't know if there are any aliens here, but I'm with y'all. Why would they come here? I mean, they might come whenever we have an eclipse, because apparently that's a pretty interesting anomaly that you don't see all over the solar system, or all over the universe, rather. Mm-hmm. So I could see where we'd get some space tourists for that one, but most of the time, it's just, they might be like, y'all got giraffes, and go look at those for a few minutes. But overall, it's kind of like me wondering why we have so many hotel rooms where Luke and I live. I'm like, there's not really a heck of a lot to do here.
Yeah. No.
I mean, it's nice. We like living here. But
I could see a zoo being like a, like, if I could travel to another planet and I got there and they couldn't travel to other planets, like they were underdeveloped, but they had a zoo, I'd go to the zoo. I'd look at all the animals and be like, oh, that's cool. And then I'd get back on my spaceship and fly off to find out what else is up.
It is. They go to Six Flags once a year.
Disney, you know?
Or Disney.
We might be the equivalent of like the Walmart parking lot where the teenagers come when there's nothing else to do.
Yeah, I can see that. Maybe there's like a space 7-Eleven up there above us somewhere.
Yes, and they go.
Just like, you want to pop into Earth real quick?
They get the slushy and they fill it up over the top, and then they're already putting in their alcohol before they leave the store.
Exactly. Yeah. That's funny. Well, really quick on the Marvel topic of aliens, there are two big up and coming comics that look very exciting. One that's coming out, I believe, in this month or next month, Wolverine versus the Predator. So if you want a crazy crossover, definitely look that up. The second big alien news in the MCU, at least in my eyes, the big alien news still tied to Wolverine, is Wolverine versus Carnage. I think it's going to be a new series coming out, I believe, next year. But apparently there will be potential for a big villain or some sort of spin-off with a lot of Wolverine-based symbiotes. So kind of cool. We'll see. Whenever that pops out, I'll definitely grab it and read it and let you all know if it's worth it. But for a question for next week, I guess sticking with Jessica Jones, my question would be, you know, what do you do? If you have Kilgrave locked in this room, what do you do? You continue to try to get him to exonerate Hope? Or do you just leave him in there? Or do you let him out, be his friend, and take him on superhero adventures with you? I don't know. What do you do? That'll be our question for next week.
It's a good one.
Yeah. but definitely join us next week. We'll continue our watch through of Jessica Jones, and also keep an eye out because we have lots of other things that we want to watch and talk about in the past Marvel Universe. I don't even know what to call it. The Marvel multiverse of old dead content. But look forward to that as well
in the future. I'd also say, if you're one of the few that have not watched Guardians of the Galaxy 3, it is now streaming on Disney Plus. So yes. Go watch that, and then finally go listen to our episode.
And go watch the Loki season 2 trailer that we finally got.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Watch it over and over.
Okay. I love what they did with that trailer. I feel like that was really smart, especially with, oh my goodness, what is his name? Ki Huan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like having him like right at the beginning and like such a crucial part of the trailer. Like, I can't wait.
With him in this role, I want to know if there will be any nod or crossover mention to everything everywhere all at once. Because it seems like Well, yeah, and they owe him, right? Yeah. I went and saw Indy in the theaters, and I was so excited for him to come back because I was like, there's no way they didn't get him. He just won all these awards for this movie that won all these awards. For sure they get him to come back. Never. I even sat through all the credits thinking like maybe it'll be an end credit scene or something. No, nothing. So, yeah, give him, I hope his role is big and it's not just like a,
just
the librarian or something.
Yeah, that's all we see. I'll be mad, but anyway. I can't wait for, man, Loki season two. Can't wait. I need to rewatch Loki season one. Oh, and that's a whole other topic we could dive into as well, as like with Jonathan Majors, because you see him in the trailer, so you know, like, what's going to happen there?
Yeah, I'm interested too. I saw something the other day that mentions his return as Kang. So it sounds like they're keeping him on as Kang. And I don't know if they'll change maybe how they have things laid out for the future, or if they're just going to keep everything the same. So I guess we'll slowly find out.
Maybe they're just hoping that everything will be okay. I saw that the charge that was against him was dropped. So maybe they're like, okay, that's it, bro. That's all. And even though it should not be all, it feels like there's more there that we need to poke around in, but
I thought he still had a court case coming up.
Maybe. It's hard to keep track of all of the people being dirtbags in Hollywood today.
Yeah.
Well, on a happy note, go watch Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I guess it's not happy, but it's a good movie. So go watch that. There's some funny stuff in it. And we'll see you all next week.
Bye.